Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the good weather. I know it's a wee bit dull right now, Lord, but can't really complain. But we do thank you for it, for William and John and Christine and Will as well, of course, Norman and Monica and myself. Bless this time in your presence, Lord, and in your house. And please take and use it, Lord, just to work on us and fine-tune us and smooth over any rough patches. Or edify us, Lord, and lift us up. Lord, if we need taking down a peg or two, please supply our daily bread this day. Please be with Israel at this time, and all those that are fighting for it, Lord. Please divinely and supernaturally protect them and give them the victory. We pray for our country, Lord, for America. We pray, Lord, for those that are fighting in the trenches, the decisions of wicked old men, Ukraine and Gaza, Lord. Please, Lord, save lives, and more importantly, Lord, save souls. For all those that are gathering together to worship and praise you, Lord, I pray that you would accompany each one of us, that you would give us what we need. Give us understanding or wisdom, Lord. You know we can never have too much. Bless our time now, Lord, and lead and guide us, and be one of our number as we sing your praises and read your word and preach and teach, Lord. I love you and thank you. Pray to be with absent brethren and friends, with family. Good to see John here, Lord. Thanks for lifting him out of his sick bed. And Lord, for all those that are just not 100%, Lord, I pray your good hand upon them. I love you and thank you. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's take our little black books this evening. Take our little black books and turn, if you would, to, let's see, hymn number 35 we'll start with this evening. Hymn number 35. No one understands like Jesus. Number 35 in the black books. We'll remain seated as we sing. Amen. That's a nice hymn. That's a nice hymn. Amen. We're going to sing. If you still have your hymn book open there in front of you, we're going to try hymn number 36 next. This one is called "Oh, I Want to See Him." If you're able, stand with me as we sing. Let's make a joyful noise. This is a man we're going to be spent the end of the ages of eternity with. We get a bit of practice in right now, looking forward to it. Hymn number 36. "Oh, I Want to See Him."
Turn tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord, who is anointed to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before them the two leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of fire, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel, for Jacob of my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have served in thee, though thou hast not known me, and Lord, and there is none else, there is no God beside thee. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. They that know, they may know, from the rising of the sun, and from the west, that there is none beside me, and the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, and create darkness, I make peace, and create evil. I, Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness, that the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up forth together. I, Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker, that the potsherd striveth with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what beginnest thou, or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands, mind ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labour of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia, of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains, they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God, for Israel, thy Saviour. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go down, they shall go to confusion, together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved from the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed of the confounded world without the end. For thus saith the Lord, that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth, and made it, he established it, he created not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in the dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come near. So assemble yourselves and come. Draw near to God, you that are sick of the nations, that have no knowledge, that set the wood of the graven image, and pray unto God that can save. Tell ye and bring them near, ye that then take counsel together. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God beside me, a just God and a Saviour, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is come out of my mouth, in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely you shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength, even to them shall men come, and all they that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified at your glory. Amen. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. That's a good chapter. I like that. It's had a whole lot coloured in there and underlined, but I like that. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Amen. Just want to remind everybody about the little prayer list. If you have anything that you want us to be praying on, it would be a good idea to let us know, and we will. Will we put down the school in Ballymoney? Small comfort at the moment, but I was reminded whenever you were speaking of that of a family of missionaries that was in Tibet a number of years ago, a very young family. They were the only family of Christian missionaries in Tibet, very hard to get in at one point, and not very many people seemed to want to go, but they were flying home on furlough just for a break to visit family, and there was a plane crash and they were all killed. And as a result of that, there was no missions outreach in Tibet. But because of that, because of there being that sudden vacuum, suddenly there were quite a few families that the Lord directed to Tibet, and that Tibet was well tended to for missions. So we will pray for the Christian school. There is definitely a niche for a Christian school in Northern Ireland, or more Christian schools in Northern Ireland. We will be praying for that. I think we have a couple of, please pray for Steve. He's having a few difficulties with the fistula thing in his wrist that's supposed to be used for his dialysis. So please do remember that. Please do remember, I think Steve mentioned something about Stephen having more difficulty with his legs, John. Is he? Yeah. Please do pray for Stephen as well. He seems to be having a lot of trouble, a lot of health issues right at this moment in time. We did take private prayer requests. John, do you have any private prayer requests? Now, I will put a line under there and we will be praying for that. The only extra thank you we had was Norman had a very favourable result in the court case whenever it came to the sorting out of damages or costs and one thing and another. And I believe he said on a couple of occasions he was satisfied with the result. So we are glad for that. I know there have been over the past 4.5 years, a lot of prayers have been offered up. Please do continue to pray for his for Mark Withington, a young man that has never heard the word no and doesn't know he needs to get saved, that this would be a suitable shape for him and that he would indeed accept Christ as his Saviour and go to heaven someday, because that's what it's all about. But in the meantime, things are moving in the right direction. One other thing, better write it down. We were up at the Crescent Link this afternoon, and a man called Kenny came over whenever we were winding up. He shook my hand. I wondered what he was coming over for. Please do pray for him. I believe he needs to get saved. He thinks he is a Christian. He could well be. His brother is, and we've been talking to him a lot, but I'd ask that you would pray for Kenny. He's not the sort of looking fellow that you would expect to be a Christian. I think he has at least one piercing. He was smoking a cigarette and he had an old, like a combat fatigue type of jacket and a leather waistcoat on. And do you know what? People come in all shapes and sizes, but salvation is a one size fit all solution for man's problems. Please do pray for Ken. He seemed like a good guy. And the weather and the opportunity to be there next week, because he said he's going to be there next week. So please do remember that. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we will continue on with a song or two. Heavenly Father, you indeed thank you, Lord, for all your many helps and blessings. Singing's been good. The songs are always good, Lord. And I pray you, Lord, please, that good spirit will be found here amongst us this evening. I know, Lord, we have many difficulties. And Lord, victories too. It's always great to celebrate the victories, but sometimes they come at a cost, Lord. And I pray you, Lord, please, for Balm of Gilead to be applied to our souls this evening. Anyone that has suffered a loss, I pray you, Lord, to soothe and to comfort. And Lord, just to pull us to you in prayer. Thank you for answered prayers. I thank you, Lord, for each soul that's here this evening. And I pray you, please, Lord, that you would work your work upon us. Please, Lord, put your hand upon Stephen. Help that young fellow, Lord, and Steve too, Lord, for John McGowan as well, and Catherine, and Rebecca, and Sean, and Oran, Lord. Please look after the whole family at this time, and draw them to the foot of the cross. Lord, we do appreciate the ability and the wherewithal to get done what we've gotten done so far with the fencing of the shed. We pray for a wee sliver of land beside us, Lord. And well, there's a bunch of stuff, Father, but we pray most importantly for your will to be done. Thank you for loving us, and thank you, Lord, for your long suffering and patience for us. We thank you too for Lily Ann and Ellis recovering from their chicken pox, and Lord, Whatever else is going on in the world, we know it's written in your word. And I am thankful, Lord, that we are saved and we're looking at it through the eyes of people that's going to be missing most of it. We love you and thank you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's get those hymn books out again, and let's sing another one of those good old songs. Hymn number 28 is our next one. Hymn number 28 in the little black books. This one is called Calvary Covers It All. Hymn number 28.
As my heart by you shall.
think we're going to sing number 55 in the week in the big books, if you'd like to take and turn there, and we'll stand as we do when the roll is called up. Amen. Number 55 in the big hymn books. When the roll is called up yonder, let's make a joyful noise. Hosea chapter 2, way back, well not way back in the Old Testament, about halfway through the Old Testament, not even halfway through, only a few books from the New Testament. Hosea chapter 2, and we'll read this portion of God's Word, and bring a few thoughts on the subject of the Lord's comments at the tail end of verse 23, where he says, "Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God." That's what our thoughts are going to be on. But Hosea, very, very interesting portion of God's Word. It's not one that's often preached about, and it's a bit controversial. But we're going to read it this evening, and we're going to see what it says to us. The word of God says in Hosea chapter 2, "Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For her mother hath played the harlot, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I also will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt no more call me Baalai. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. In that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. And I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that hath not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Amen. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. And then we will continue on. If you would, Will, would you pray for us, please?
Dear Father, thank you for your boundless love and for your listeners, your Son died on the cross for our sins, Lord. And thank you for unboundless grace and love that Jesus Christ displayed at the cross for our sins. If only we ask him, in humbleness of heart, Lord, that thou will save us through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the circumcision of heart as well, Lord. Lord, pray for the service tonight, may everything that we may do be accessible in your sight, Lord. Choose unto yourself and the Holy Spirit, Lord. Guide us through the word that Mark has read out, Lord, and give us your thoughts to us, Lord, and Lord, direct our ways, Lord, and shed a light upon our path, Lord. We know more about thee, know more about thy will, and thy loving kindness. You have given us as well, Lord. Every head that's represented, household represented, bless them. And Lord, save sinners throughout this world, Lord. You convict them and save them mightily and powerful, even if they've done the churches and throughout the world. It's a, Because of the misery we had, thank you, Lord. Also, the tracks that went through at the people's house, the people's hands, Lord, that you submitted powerfully. Also, the street preachers up in Belfast, the priest down word, Lord, to people that were going shop, Lord, you submitted the quick people in the place for, Lord, mighty powerfully, Israel, Lord. Be our minds come to the gospel, make our hearts receptive through that word, to will, and give us Christ that grace, for the honor, for the glory, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Will. I am not sure of your remembrance of the book of Hosea, but it very much reminds me of the account of the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his arrest. When it was his words were recorded, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Because at the very beginning of the book of Hosea, the man of the hour, probably the equivalent of the great high priest for the children of Israel, Hosea, was told to go and marry a prostitute. God said to him, go and marry a whore. And that was pretty much forbidden in the law of the Lord, because any man that was a servant of God, by way of being a prophet of God, was pretty much instructed to marry an unwed girl from his own tribe. But here we have a man, Hosea, standing for God, about to be used by God to show the whole of the land of Israel, and indeed even us today, which means the whole world, exactly the way Israel has behaved over the years. And to be honest, the way we have behaved towards God over the years. There is a reason why we have standards in the world today. Because you honestly don't want this drama in your life. You don't want to have to be fighting tooth and nail for the person that you're married to stay with you and be faithful to you, because they've seen something shiny over there. And that is one of the reasons why the Word of God says not to marry people like that. People that are very loose morals, whether they be male or female, it pays to marry someone with their head screwed on, that for a Christian, that loves the Lord and is prepared to put him and his word above everything else. As we read about in chapter number 1, there are a few children born. And of course, their names are very, very important. And there's a couple of prophecies made about them. We're not going to go into that this evening. But we're going to look at chapter number 2, and especially the last few words of verse number 23. As the chapter starts, it's talking about Hosea and Gomer, this great prophet of God, and this as someone would say, this woman that he is married, not a lady, a woman, and had children with. And then for some strange reason, she just wanders off and starts chasing other men. And it details what it was like for her before she wandered off, what it is like as she wanders off, eventually her coming to the realization that it's not good at all. It was, what did he say in the end of verse number 7? I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. And then her coming back to her husband. And if you weren't paying attention, just as you read on another verse or two, it goes from the example of the children of Israel to talking about the nation of Israel. We have spent no small amount of time in the Old Testament. We have been reading through Isaiah and Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel. We have been reading about the warnings, the pleadings that God had with the children of Israel. Get back into church. Get back on your hands and knees in prayer. Abandon all of these false gods. They're not helping you at all. For decades, lifetimes, God sent men and women to preach, to teach those that would be taught, to lead the way back to the foot of the cross, back to the bosom of a loving Father. And I don't know what it is about it, human nature, the sin nature. It's almost like when we see something new, we're away. We forget about all that's been done for us in the past. But something new piques our curiosity, and we're gone. And I'm going to tell you something, friends, that is never more true than in the life of a Christian. I know there are people that can't be in church at every service. That's just like some people can't be there through illness, for work. There's William as a farmer. Yes, I know there are times that when there's livestock being birthed or calved and one thing and another. I have seen the farmers. I have seen the farmers on some of those beautiful summer nights, those three that we had this year, out in their tractors with the headlights on, and we're falling fast asleep and they're still going up and down the fields gathering corn or silage or whatever it is. I know there are instances when people can't be there, but a Christian can't afford to miss church. You would be surprised how quickly the devil comes in, literally like a flood, when you give him that opening. It is a struggle. It's a struggle to be in the pulpit. I am sure there are at least three other things the devil tempted you with this evening before you came to church. It is important that you be in church. It is important that you be in the Word of God, and it is important that you be in the presence of God in prayer, and it is also important that you be in the service of God for so many reasons. And yet from history we understand that the children of Israel, they wandered off. Oh, they've got nicer clothes. I can see more skin when they wear their clothes. I'm going to live the way they live. Oh, they're able to make more money than me. I'm going to live the way they live. I've got to give you an example. One Friday morning, as I was working in Desmond's, there was a man that I knew came up to me and said, "Mark, if you give me £100 today, I will give you £200 on Monday morning." I said, "How in the world are you going to do that?" And you know what he said? "It's better that you don't ask." He's probably going out buying and selling drugs. I said, "I'll give that a miss, thank you very much, but I appreciate you asking me." There are so many ways to catch the unwary soul. Even the worldly Christian can be led away and made destitute, and we see that here. It is so easy, not just for a woman to lose her virtue, to become faithless, but for a Christian to lose their virtue and their faithfulness to God. There's a part of me that could sit and watch TV programs and channel surf all day. I could do that. I would get to the end of the day and I would be as sick as a dog for doing it and realize I've wasted the day. But there's a part of me could do it. There's a part of that in all of us. And we need to be busy. One of the reasons why the Lord said to us as a people, as a creature, whenever he was talking to Adam, he said, "It'll be by the sweat of your brow that the ground will give its increase." And I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. Because we need to be busy. We need to be busy about good things, because otherwise bad things will creep in. I know that Israel is not the most popular of topics at the moment with many, many people. And that's many, many people that watch BBC and ITV and Sky UK and believe what our socialist stroke communist overlords would have us suck down on the terrestrial broadcasting. But God even promises here that Israel is going to come to a point where there will be peace on the earth, where God will be reigning, and when he looks on these people and he says, "You are my people, As a nation, the word of God says, they will come to God. Goodness, can you imagine? Can you imagine realizing that you as a nation rejected the Messiah 2,000 years ago? And then see him and say, you're the man we've been waiting for thousands of years. And understanding that the Gentiles, us dogs, have had him for all of that time. The Lord said he would make them jealous by a people that were not a people. And we are not that people. As I was reading this, you see the last four words in Hosea chapter 2. What does it say? Thou art. It says my God. It doesn't say our God. It doesn't say the God of Israel. It says my God. I want for you to know, friends, that you and I are adopted into the salvation that is offered to Israel. We are adopted into these promises. One of the problems that we have in this day and age is that we sit in a church and we sing our God. And we're hoping to blend in, and that all of the promises that God offers to his people will come to us, but all the corrections and the chastenings that we need. And God, the Bible says it, if God doesn't chasten or correct us, it says then we're bastards. We don't belong to him. And I'm using that in its most correct term. He is not our God. It's not a salvation for the whole world. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that everybody would go to heaven. He died on the cross so that everybody could go to heaven. And it is a personal thing. Personal. It is us that has to make the decision. It is us that bears the consequences or the rewards and blessings of those decisions. And we can say to him, you are my God. Not our God. My God. Because that is where God operates. In the hearts of individuals. Yes, the Bible said in the last days God's Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. And it is. That's why people feel bad when you talk to them, when you even come into their presence, because the Spirit in you beareth witness with the Spirit in them that you are a child of God, and they're not. That makes them feel bad. Maybe a word that you have spoken in season convicts them deep down in their heart. And it's not God's plan that they just live life feeling bad. It's God's plan that they should feel bad. Their conscience should be pricked. And they should go, oh God, why is my conscience being pricked? Why do I feel bad? And then if they genuinely ask that, God would start to talk to them. He would talk to them in hymns. Those hymns are powerful words in them. There's a message in those hymns. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Not because I'm good, but because Jesus is great. An old hymn, an old Sunday school lesson, a word from a soul that loves the Lord or handed them a gospel tract. And then they will say, well, now I know why I feel bad. My conscience is working with the word of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I need to get saved. That's God's plan. And for the Christian, goodness Christian, do you know the things that God has not for us, but for not for all of us, but for each of us? I have to write these down sometimes whenever I am going along. We have, first of all, we have value. Did you know that? We are loved by God. If you want to put a more relatable value on your soul, you know what God said? You would be losing out if you neglected your soul and chased riches your whole life and became the richest man in the world. You would be losing out. Even if you gained all the riches in the world, you would be losing out if you lost your soul, if you never got saved. You're valued. Each of us are valued. Each of us are reasoned with and convicted. You wouldn't have gotten to Bethel, and you certainly couldn't sit here for more than a few services if you hadn't been convicted and you hadn't accepted Christ as your Savior. And once you're convicted, all you need to do is say, well, do you know what, Lord? You're right. I've been wrong. I need to be saved. Would you please save me? That is repentance and admission that you've been wrong, that you need to get saved. And a calling upon the Savior, the confession of your lips and your belief that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you'll be saved. You will be saved. Not all of you, but each of you. In due time, as you repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior. This is what God has given to you, a salvation. And not only will you be saved, you'll be kept. Each one of us is kept in the palm, not only of Jesus Christ. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and he also keeps you in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck you out. And if you were to look inside there, you would see that you're sealed from within by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Just like the ark, sealed outside and inside. You're accompanied. Each one of us is accompanied by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In good times and in bad, you are loved so much that God wants to spend the rest of your life with you, helping you in whatever way you need and he can. You're ministered to. This is what your God can do for you and will do for you. Many times all you got to do is turn up. You are ministered to. Has anybody ever had a happy coincidence just when they were in a bit of a tight spot and God opened the door for you? I have. I know you have. Don't be afraid to admit it. Somebody needs to hear that. Not only that, but the Lord sends angels to help you out. Those angels, those same angels that belong to little children and always behold the face of the Father, they are sent to minister to those, you and I, that are heirs of salvation. We have an inheritance. Jesus Christ is our big brother. We are joint heirs with Christ. We will inherit the kingdom of God in 1,000 years in this world. You have God's ear. He loves you so much, he wants to hear from you. From each one of you. He doesn't want to hear my prayers for John. Although, I'm sure he will hear my prayers for John. But he wants, not instead of John, he wants to hear from John or William or Will or Christine or Norman, Monica, and even me. He wants to hear from us. I don't know if any of you ever went away for school. I remember my dad telling me, make sure and ring about Wednesday or Thursday and say hello to your mother. That's what he used to say. So this is what we would do. Because money wasn't as plentiful back then as it seems to be today, and everybody didn't have free phone calls. But I would ring 3 times, and my folks would know the phone number, the number for the pay phone in the Union Theological College, and they would bring me back. And so I didn't have to pay for the phone call, and I could stay on for 15 or 20 minutes and report in. And Mom and Dad were glad to hear from me. And that's the way it went for all of my brothers and sisters. People don't appreciate that these days. We have God's ear anytime simply because we're saved. We can enter boldly into the presence of God. Lord, you know what? I'm having a bit of a problem. Or Lord, guess what, Lord? That worked out really well. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, as in Philippians chapter 4. Talk to God like you would talk to your spouse, that you would talk to your children, that you would talk to your friend, the closest friend that you have. Each one of us, our God, my God, he intercedes for me. And none of us can sit here and say, hey, I'm perfect. I'm sinless. We're not in the Methodist Church. There is no way to reach sinless perfection until you die and your sin nature is gone. And you'll never sin anymore because you'll have no desire to do it. Bible says that the Lord, our Savior, sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Whenever the accuser of the brethren comes pointing a finger, and let's be honest, friends, we are not perfect and we do make mistakes. And the old devil, he's got a little black book with all our mistakes. And as soon, he's like a tattletale. As soon as you say or do something wrong, he's there in a flash. He says, "Well, see God, see your son down there. He said this, he did this." The Lord says, "Father, I paid for that on the cross. I paid for that on the cross. All sins, past, present, and future. Not even the stupid things that Mark does sometimes can damn him to an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Because I saved him on the cross and he accepted my payment." I am glad that the Lord intercedes for us. I would hate to have to deal with the devil face to face. You see this book? It's more important than a miracle. It's more important than great singing. Peter summed it up very well. Whenever everyone was walking away from the Lord just after getting their bellies filled, and he says, "Right, now that you're all fed and watered, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. It's time to knuckle to in this Christian life. It's time to apply, not just listen to the word and be encouraged by the doctrines that I have taught, and understanding that the man that carried out all the miracles is here at the front telling you what to do. You need to take them and apply them to your life." And people go, "Oh, we enjoyed the show, we enjoyed the fellowship, we enjoyed the food, but making this stick in our lives, that's a bit trickier than that. That sounds about like hard work." Remember what Peter said as he walked towards the Lord, just as everybody walked past him. He said, "Are you going to leave me too?" You know what Peter said? "Lord, where else are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life," and that's exactly what this is. Not just eternal life, but the two rails that you can run on this life. My God has provided a way for me to get through this life from one end to the other and please him. Your God is the God of the Bible. He has done that for you too. And he will even give us the promise in Romans 8:28. It shouldn't be a surprise. It says, "We know that everything works together for good for them that love God, saved people, for them that are called according to his purpose, those saved people that do what God says." That's a promise for you, for each one of us. God's word is full of prophecy, stuff that's coming to pass day by day in front of us. I am astounded that more people aren't getting fired up and encouraged, and more churches aren't opening, but sadly, with the realization of prophecy coming to pass, there is also a great, goodness, there's a great feeding of men's lusts, is the only way I can put it, that blinds them, that shuts down the reasoning part of their brain and just switches on the pleasure centers, and they think of nothing but just indulging themselves. But there's encouragement in this word. When a prophecy comes to pass, that's crazy. That book was finished 2,000 years ago and it's talking about stuff that's happening today. Goodness, how can you not believe it? Every one of those things that happens should build up your assurance until it's like a wrecking ball. And any obstacles that come through your way, any things that people start saying that are nonsense that you hear on the TVs to say, "I'm going to heaven, God's word's right, and just because you're preaching that, you're wrong. If you take a different standpoint to God, you're wrong." Just blow it out of the water, and you continue on believing in God and trusting in God. I had an opportunity one time, I know I refer to this from time to time, it's my 15-minute claim to fame, being on the Nolan Show on TV. I didn't even get time to finish my supper, my dessert. It's all for show, let me tell you. If you ever get invited on the Nolan Show, eat quickly, is all I can say. They asked me what I thought about homosexuality, and I said, the Bible says that it's wrong. It breaks the very first commandment that God ever gave. Go forth into all the world and multiply and replenish the earth and fill it. Have kids. Homosexuals and lesbians can't do that. I said, the Bible says it's not right. And he said, but what do you think? He says, the Bible says it's not right. I said, but what do you think? He says, I'm allowed to think what the Bible says, and I believe what the Bible says it's not right. You are allowed to believe what the Bible says. You are allowed to say what the Bible says. And I guarantee you, as soon as you open your mouth and speak the words that the Bible says, you will find that there is a power that comes into you from saying that. There is a faith that you have put in the promise of God to fill your mouth with the words that need to be spoken. And you will find that you are not afraid of what other people think of you. God will be there for you. One of my favorite verses says in Isaiah 40 and 31, overcoming power. When you wait on the Lord, you do it His way. You will find it as a joy and a thrill to you. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. You'll run and not be weary, and you'll walk and not faint. Even more, if you were to read through, I think it's first or second Samuel 22, and it's in one of the Psalms as well. And the psalmist said, by my God have I leaped over a wall. I have run through a troop. Who is God? He is the rock of my salvation. He setteth my feet upon my high places. Which one of the armed services says be all that you can be? Is that the US Army or just the Army anyway? That's what God promises. For you to be all that you can be when you put your faith in Christ. Doesn't mean you'll be cracking skulls and sticking knives in people and blowing their brains out. Most times, in all honesty, folks, it just means getting over ourselves and getting past ourselves. But I have seen it too work in destroying the defenses that the world, the flesh, and the devil has built up in a lost soul's heart when they hear the words of eternal life. Whenever they hear what God has been able to do for you. One of the best sermons I ever heard before I was even saved that had the greatest impact upon me. I was sitting in a church a bit like this. There was a man who couldn't sing to save his life, and someone had put a gun to his head and said, sing in tune. He couldn't have done it. And what he wanted to do, he wanted to sing a solo to the church. And I have a pretty good ear for music, I just want to let you know. And whenever someone Les Dawson's a song, that's sort of like the nails on the blackboard for me. Does anyone know who Les Dawson was? You remember, do you ever hear him playing? He was an ace musician, but he would start hitting flat notes and he would start hitting minor notes. And he just, and I thought, oh no. But that man, he stood up and he sung for God. And that touched my heart because God enabled him to joyfully praise God, not worry about what anybody else was saying. And I could see what God could do with someone that was willing to just obey. I'm not asking for solos from anybody, by the way, so don't think that. God can work through anybody, in any medium, for anyone that is prepared to do what he asks him to do. Because he is an immortal God. He is an almighty God. He is an omniscient God. He is an omnipotent God. He is an omnipresent God. And he's my God. And I know difficult times are going on in this world. You need to know, friends, that whenever you repented of your sins, God claimed you. God claimed you. And what we need to do is claim him right back again. And not claim him power over this and power over that, but make a point of being a child of the King of Kings. Doesn't mean everything will be claimed, sailing. I can only imagine the thoughts that were going through Hosea's head when God said, go and marry Gomer. But God says, go and marry her. I have a big lesson to teach the children of Israel. But they need to know. Even though Jesus, God's Son, God Almighty, wasn't looking forward to going to the cross, but he did it. And we have joy in our lives and the promise of an eternity in heaven for it. Eventually, Hosea's wife came back to him. Eventually, the nation of Israel en masse will come back to God. Because they're his people. And his people need to look up to God and claim him as their Father in heaven. We should do that. And do it day by day. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. If it was only a matter of doing it once and everything would be perfect, well, it would be, but it's not. It's every day. It's a battle. And it will rage until the day that we die and stand in glory with no more sin nature. And a glorified body just like Jesus. And robes of righteousness provided by him. And when he says to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And we see friends, loved ones, neighbors, acquaintances, even people that we have never seen before. And we're known as we're known. And we know that we are home at last with the God that gave us life on the cross of Calvary for each and every one. God bless you, folks. Thank you for your good time and your attention. We're going to sing our closing hymn out of the wee black book. I'll tell you what the number is in 2 ticks. Hymn number 38. Hymn number 38, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. If you're able, stand with me and we'll close out our service with this number 38. Yeah. thank you again for your good time and attention. Pray you have a good Lord's Day and you're all fueled up and fired up to meet the week as it comes towards you. Keep your eyes on Him, because He knows what's coming around the next corner. God bless you, be with you, and walk with you, and don't forget to walk with Him as the week goes on. And you'll see your life, friends. God bless you. William, would you mind praying for us and just dismissing the meeting for us this evening, if that would be okay with you? Go ahead.
Lord, we bring this meeting to a close, and Lord, thank you for allowing us to meet in fellowship. Lord, thank you for keeping the persecution away from these shores of the Episcopal one time, Lord. Lord, please bless everyone in here. I bring us closer to you, Lord. And Lord, once again, we thank you for sending your Son to die for us on the cross. Because your only begotten Son as a sacrifice for us for our sins that we cannot atone for through good deed, our own actions, Lord. Lord, have mercy upon us as we go, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, William. Folks, we're all dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. God bless you.